Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Today
and tomorrow we're going to conclude our series on the different marks of charity according to the Apostle St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. The 14th mark, which we'll discuss today, is that love hopes all things. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Philosopher Plato defined hope as the expectation of something good. In the English writer Samuel Johnson said that the natural flights of the human mind are not from pleasure to pleasure, but from hope to hope. Very interesting. Love actually believes that no one is hopeless. Jesus doesn't give up on anyone, no matter how miserable they are, no matter how miserable we are at times. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4, the Old Testament says, anyone who's among the living has hope. The last mark of charity that we just talked about was that love believes all things, and we tied that to the theological virtue of faith. The fact that love also hopes all things is tied to the virtue of hope. And so it means that faith and hope are really like peas in a pod. They go together. They're tied together. Faith is opposed to infidelity. Hope is our shield against despair. Why do many people despair? Because they lose hope, because there's no hope in their heart. Sadly, you can actually have all the truths and knowledge in your head, but not have any hope in your heart at the same time. That's why it's so important that we learn to really take to heart God's love for us. God's love in our heart will produce hope in our heart. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, not just my head, but my heart as well. When we spoke about the virtue of faith, we mentioned how the word pisteo in Greek for faith also means to believe, also means to have confidence in God, to trust in God. The Greek word that St. Paul uses for hope is elpizo. It too implies confidence in God, putting one's hope in him. Love hopes all things means that love is always confident in God's care for me and in his plan. So faith and hope really do overlap in the spiritual life. In fact, Hebrews 11, verse 1 defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for. One of the things that attracted the pagans of the first century to Christianity was the unique spirit of hope that those first Christians had. The pagans really had no hope for the future. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That was one of their mottos that St. Paul notes in 1 Corinthians 15, 32. It was an Epicurean slogan, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The Epicureans thought that pleasure was the only thing worth living for. There are many people also in our culture today who think the same. When pleasure's your modus operandi, when it's your goal and your way of living life, there's no hope in that. On the surface, it seems good at times, but underneath the surface, it's really a philosophy of despair. The apostle said to the faithful in Ephesus, he said, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, 12. And then he said to the believers in Thessalonica, he said, we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, meaning those who've died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. So the good news of the gospel really was and is a message of hope, a message that there's something more to life, and that for those who love God, that there's something wonderful beyond the grave as well. The apostle didn't beat around the bush about the importance of this. He said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied, he said. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 and 19. And then he added, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Verse 20, we have hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Catechism very beautifully also adds that hope is a source of prayer as well. In number 2662 of the Catechism, we read this, quote, the Word of God, the liturgy of the Church, and the virtues of faith, hope, and charity are all the sources of prayer. So why do we pray to the Lord? Well, because we know He's good, we know that He's all-powerful, we know that He's love, but also because we hope to receive good things from Him, too. If we didn't hope to receive anything from the Lord for ourselves or for others, we probably wouldn't pray to Him, would we? Or maybe it's better to say that our prayer would exclude petition, and it would become simply a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, which really isn't a bad thing. It's essentially the prayer of the angels and saints in heaven. So for those of us who maybe struggle with having a sense of hope or with complaining and focusing on the bad and negative things and getting frustrated because things aren't the way that they should be or the way that we think they should be, one suggestion that might be helpful is this, by really cultivating a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving to God, and a spirit of praise as well. Ask Our Lady to help you to learn how to do this if you need help with it. Learn to thank God for the fact that He's good and merciful and patient and kind. Learn to thank Him throughout the day for everything that you have, for everything that He's made. Learn to thank Him also for the glories and joys that await us in the next life if we're faithful to Him. Learn to thank Him for Jesus and Mary, who love us more than we can comprehend. Learn to thank Him for the gifts and good qualities that other people have, for the beauty of things, for the gift of our senses, for those of us who can see, taste, touch, smell, etc., for the gift of warmth and coolness, for health, or maybe a smile that even someone gives to us very simply, for the grace of restraining our anger or keeping silent when we wanted to say something uncharitable, even thanking Him for the crosses that He sends us to make us more like our Lord and more like Our Lady. As we examine our consciences each night, we should also think of a number of things each day that we can thank the good Lord for. Gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise might be the missing key to a lot of our lives, spiritually speaking, the key that helps unlock the hope that God wants us to have in our hearts. As a theological virtue, the Catechism at number 1817 says that hope is the virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit, says the Catechism. And we know Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there as well, Matthew 6, 21. And He wants our treasure, He wants our heart to be with Him in heaven. One of the reasons why people despair is because their hearts are grasping at things down here. Love and attention from other people, status, pleasure, wealth, securities in this life, all kinds of material things too. If our hearts were where Jesus wants them to be, there would be a lot less despair in the world because our hope would be in the right place and in the right thing, and in the right person, for that matter. Blessed is he, says Psalm 146, 5, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And Proverbs 10, 28 says, the hope of the righteous ends in gladness, but the expectation of the wicked comes to nothing. Very beautifully also, 1 Timothy 1, 1, St. Paul calls Jesus Christ our hope. So He's not just our God and Savior and Redeemer, He is our hope as well. So love hopes all things because love places its hope in Christ. Every disappointment and suffering in this life is an opportunity for us to learn to put our hopes in the right place. May Our Lady, the Mother of Hope, teach us to ground our hope in Jesus' love for us and in her love for us as well. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.